Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We speak often about faith. We speak often about the gospel and our need for faith in Christ. There are times when we do so, expecting people to understand what we mean, understanding what it is to have faith, understanding what it is to believe, to trust. And there are times where that may not be the case. Sometimes even as Christians, if you are a Christian, where we think we understand what it is God calls us to. And yet there are times where we miss that mark. We miss exactly what it is He wants from us. We think we have to do mighty things, that we have to be incredibly active. And what He calls us to is to have faith. Faith, as Hebrews 11 tells us in verse 1, is now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is something that is hard to describe. It is something that is hard to get your mind around. That it is the evidence of something when it is faith. Describing that to a person that is not a Christian, very often they will not understand. They will not understand what it is, even though that they have faith in many things. In Hebrews 11 tonight, we're going to be looking at two individuals that most of the time we probably wouldn't look at in Hebrews chapter 11, and examine what it was about them that the Bible declares was their faith in God. And hopefully by doing so, we'll be able to examine what it is God calls each of us to when He says to live by faith. So tonight we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11, and we're specifically saying, looking at verse 19 and verse 20 through verse 21. Sorry, verse 20 and verse 21. Sorry about that. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. When we think of Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the honor roll of faith. You may have other names that you refer to it as, but we think of these great deeds, that men and women doing wonderful things, and even the writer says this later on, what more shall I say? What other things can I describe of Gideon, of Jephthah, of David, of Samson, of all of these things? And we think of actions when we hear of those things. We think of David slaying Goliath. We think of Gideon going down with 300 against the Midianites. We think of these massive things with Samson destroying the temple. All of these things, but yet when we think about Isaac, and we think about Jacob, what do we think of? Very often we think of Jacob's lack of faith, of his deceitfulness, of those actions that show his weakness in character. We don't think of their faith. But Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that they were faithful. What were they faithful in? Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Hebrews calls Isaac a man of faith. We don't know that much about the life of Isaac. We don't know that much concerning him. You think about some of these things in Isaac's life. We think of him being sacrificed, him being laid upon the altar by Abraham. And yet, was that Abraham's faith or Isaac's faith? Well, Hebrews tells us it was Abraham's faith. Now, Isaac certainly had faith in his father. Isaac certainly had faith in God at that point because he understands what they're going to do. He understands the sacrifice that's going to be made because he's asking for where the animal is. He's got the wood. Everything's prepared. So his father was certainly teaching him about these things, and he certainly had some form of faith at that point. But the Bible calls it Abraham's faith. And then we read of the story of Rebekah and Rebekah coming, being brought, and the faith of Abraham and the faith of his servant. Her being brought to Isaac and their marriage. And we think that's a wonderful story. But we don't read of Isaac's faith there, do we? We read of the story of the blessing of Jacob and Esau. Of that, the fact that Jacob is going to be the one that is blessed in the womb, and Esau is not. And yet, throughout his life, what does Isaac do? He favors Esau. He looks at Esau with favor. He's the manly man. He's the one that he wants him to follow after him. in all things. And then we think of his blessing. And you can turn over to Genesis chapter 27. We'll spend a little bit of time here and then talk further on about Jacob. Genesis chapter 27 is that story of blessing. And you may be familiar with this account. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to give you a little background and then read from verse 30 on. So Jacob wants the blessing. He's already got the birthright from Isaac. And now he wants the blessing. And he tells his mother that it's time, it's going to happen. And Rebecca says, we're going to do something here. I'm going to dress you up like your brother. You're going to wear his clothes. I'm going to put wool on your hands so you feel like your brother, so you smell like your brother. And I'm going to prepare a meal that will be just what your father is looking for. And you're going to take it into him, and you're going to say that you're Isaac. And you're going to receive that blessing. And it makes us cringe when we think about that, doesn't it? It makes us cringe when we think, well, here's this deceitful man receiving something positive from his father. And not only from his father, because it's the blessing of God from Abraham through Isaac down to Jacob. And we think, how is that right? How is that proper? And yet we read, and it says in verse 30, and it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let thy father, my father, arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. You notice that? Isaac understands something here that we kind of go over frequently whenever we read this story, because we're so focused on what Jacob has done. He says, I've blessed him, and he is going to be blessed. What I've done in faith that it was the right thing to do. And Jacob is going to be blessed, not you. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Very rarely in the relationship between Israel, Jacob, and Esau and his descendants was that yoke thrown off. It was a very rare thing for that yoke to be thrown off of the neck of Esau. And it says, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? And so you have this idea from Rebekah, and she sounds very conniving, doesn't she? And we just don't like this story very much. It doesn't have any good aspects to it that we want to rally behind like David does. like Abraham does, like Samson does, like, you know, there's redemption in the end. Who's the one that's being put forward as our example here? But then you notice in verse 1 of chapter 28, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Skip down to verse 3. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. That's what Hebrews is talking about. That Isaac recognized that this is the hand of God at work. And he blessed Jacob deceitfully at first. And then he told his son, after he had found out that Jacob had done it deceitfully, he said to Esau, he said, I blessed him. And yes, he indeed is blessed. And then when he was faced with that deceiver again, Jacob is in front of him. The time that he could have said, Jacob, you've been bad. You've done the things that are not right. I'm going to discipline you for that. I'm going to do such and such to you. What does he do? He recognizes that this is the hand of God, and he blesses him further. He blesses him further. He blesses him again. And instills into it, he says, God Almighty bless thee. And not only that, and give thee the blessing of Abraham. You remember all the blessings that Abraham received. All the things that God had done for him. And although it's through difficulties that Jacob receives things of that nature, when he comes back and Esau sees him, he has the wealth of Abraham, even though he left with nothing. He's received that blessing. That's the faith of Isaac. That's what Hebrews is telling us. And you sometimes don't like what takes place. I don't think Isaac liked it. I don't think he sat there and thought, well, this is great. Jacob is going to be my heir. Jacob's going to be the one. I think he sat there and he was remorseful. He was probably remorseful to his dying day because he loved Esau. And Jacob he could put up with. And yet, he saw that God's hand was in it. And by faith, he blessed Jacob. By faith he walked. So we think of this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you think about the revelation of God, we have the Bible that we can read and study. But think about Isaac's life. What revelation of God do we know of for Isaac? What direct revelation do we know of? Well, we have Genesis 22 where God provides the lamb. He was there for that. But who is the messenger speaking to? Who is the angel of God speaking to? He's speaking to Abraham. And Isaac is there and he hears those voices. He hears the voice of God. He hears this take place. And he's confirming the covenant to Abraham through Isaac. And so that can be confirming to Isaac. And then he has, when God tells Rebekah, his wife, that there are two nations in her womb, and the older shall serve the younger. Now we have many times that Abraham speaks with God. But to my knowledge, these are the only two times that God reveals himself to Isaac. When he's going to be sacrificed. And when he's about to have his children. That one is going to be blessed and one is going to be serving the other. And yet you think about that, those verses in Genesis 28. Of his confidence, of his faith in Jehovah. That this is the right thing. That this is God's hand in his life. Isaac's life, I put to you, is different than it would have been based off of those revelations. He may have had more, and the Bible doesn't tell us about them. We don't know. There are things that take place that God does that we just don't know about. And we don't need to know about whether God revealed himself in more ways to Isaac. But what we do know is that these only two times, and that was enough for Isaac's life. That was enough to bless Jacob further. To say, no, this is God's hand, and I'm going to give you the blessing of Abraham. How much do we need? How many encouragements do we need along the way? It puts us in shame, doesn't it, when we think of someone like that. His blessing of Jacob was that evidence. That when you read verse 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. His blessing of Jacob was that. It was the evidence of the hand of God. that Isaac was relying upon. And then we think of that man Jacob. You think about the life that he led. And we've just told the story of his deceitfulness, of the ways that he has tricked his father, the way that he had connived his brother out of his birthright. And then he goes and he receives so much from his father-in-law, and yet he is deceived in that process, but he gains so much wealth. And yet the Bible calls him a man of faith. And what does it say about him? Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. We know so much about Jacob. It's hard to even go through all of the things that he does. We read of Bethel and his interaction with God and saying that I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. That's kind of the way we see things nowadays. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. But there was power with God in prayer there. And he goes and he struggles so much, but yet God still blesses and blesses and blesses. God is still working in his life and he still has faith. And we see the struggles that he has and we can kind of relate to him more because we know of our own struggles. We wouldn't admit it to anybody, but we do know of our own struggles. And we say, I'd align closer to Jacob than I would to Isaac or to Abraham. Because I know what he's done and I know what's in my own heart. And yet he's listed in Hebrews chapter 11. But why? Well, for the similar reason that Isaac was listed. And so you think about this blessing that's passed on. Abraham has passed this blessing on to Isaac. It is the blessing of God that God is going to make a great nation. That the Messiah is going to come through them. And Isaac takes this blessing, and at first deceitfully, but then by faith, passes it to Jacob. And says, I'm giving you this blessing. God is going to make a great nation of you. That God, the Messiah, the Redeemer, is going to come through you. That's the blessing of Abraham. And he passes it to Jacob. But then we think about all of the things that Jacob does wrong, because it's hard to think of things that he does right. But we think of all the things that he does wrong. All the ways that his life seems an utter mess. The fact that he plays favors just like his father did. And yet when we come to the end of his life, he is a content and rather happy individual as he's sitting there in Egypt. And he sees his children and his grandchildren sitting around him. And he decides it's time for the blessing. It's time to bestow the blessing upon whom I want to bestow it upon. And he decides he's going to bestow it upon Joseph, who is not the first in line, as Esau was, or the second in line, as Jacob was. But he's further down the line, isn't he? And we think of that blessing that he gives him in Genesis chapter 48 and Genesis chapter 49. We could go through and read all of the things that take place. But look in verse 15 of Genesis chapter 48. I'm sorry, a little bit before that. Verse 8. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And then we go into chapter 49, and we have all of the blessings that are passed upon Israel, passed upon his children. It's no longer just a one son or even two sons. Now it is 12. And in fact, it seems to be a little larger, doesn't it? Because you remove Joseph and there's 13 to bless. Ephraim and Manasseh instead of just Joseph. And you read verses 22 through 26. Joseph is fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bough abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Now you think about this blessing, and Ephraim and Manasseh are in there. And Ephraim gets a lot. It's a portion of the nation. And Manasseh gets two lots, one on each side of the Jordan. And in fact, if you went down and you said, okay, what is the largest tribe of the nation of Israel, you might have some difficulty. Ephraim and Manasseh would be in the discussion, constantly in the discussion. It's going to be Ephraim, Manasseh, and Judah. Those three are going to be the largest tribes of Israel. And you think about the blessing that Jacob gives. He blesses the one son with a double portion. And then he does that again, even to the younger Ephraim, over his brother Manasseh. And he does it by faith. What revelation does he have? What revelation does Jacob rely upon when he's giving this blessing? It's the revelation of knowing what took place with Abraham. It's the revelation of knowing what took place with his father Isaac, and how his father blessed him by faith. That when he should have been reprimanded, when he should have been disciplined, his father blesses him. His father says, I'm going to give you the blessing of my father. God is going to be with you. And we know if God is with you, who can be against you? So he passes the blessing of Abraham on to Joseph. But Ephraim, the younger son, and Manasseh, the older son, in the opposite way. But in fact, the nation receives the blessing, doesn't it? It's no longer just the one son, because he blesses them all. He has a blessing for every son. It's not so when it was with Esau, when he's crying to his father, don't you have a blessing for me too? Jacob has a blessing for every single one of them. And he passes it on to them. And you think of the statements that are coming here. You read verse 24 again. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Who's he speaking about? But he's thinking of the nation now. Because he's blessing all of the sons, isn't he? And he knows that throughout this land, this group of 12, this group of 13, that are going to go forward and take the land that was promised to Abraham, that there's going to become the Messiah. The Messiah is going to be coming down through this. In verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal under the vine, and his ass's colt under the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. And you say, well, is he talking about Judah here? He's talking about the Messiah, until Shiloh come. And you see the faith of Jacob expressed in these sins, in these things. And it was expressed most significantly when he purposefully placed his hand, his right hand, his hand of strength upon the younger son Ephraim, and placed his left hand, the hand of weakness, upon Manasseh. And it should have been the opposite. But that was the expression of his faith. That was his faith in God, that God knew exactly what was taking place. And that God, that Jacob was relying upon that God as he had been, even though fitfully at times, it seems, throughout his whole life. And Hebrews tells us that's the expression of it. That's the expression of his faith, his reliance upon God. And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 tells us that. You think about Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in those expressions that Isaac gave, he blessed Jacob with the blessing of Abraham. What was that blessing? It was the blessing of the Messiah. And it was the faith to say that the Messiah is coming, Jacob, and he's going to be coming through you, not Esau. And Jacob turns around and blesses these children. They weren't young children like these children, but these men, his children. And what's the blessing that he passes on? It's that same blessing. It's faith in the Messiah. It's faith in the Messiah. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. They had faith in the risen Son of God. They didn't know at that point everything that we know. They didn't have the full revelation that we have. At least we don't think they did. But what they did know, they believed. They trusted. They had faith. And that faith moved them to actions. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Paul is talking about the issues that the Jews are having. And he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We sitting here tonight have a better blessing than Isaac had from his father. We have a better blessing than Isaac gave to his son. And we have a better blessing than Jacob gave to his sons and to his grandchildren. Why? Because we can hear the word of God. We can hear the full revelation of God from beginning to end. We have everything that you need for faith and godliness. It is right here for us. God has given it to us in a tremendous blessing. What does he call us to? He calls us to a simple faith. A faith that believes what we hear. A faith that believes what he said. It's not a faith that says that you have to know every doctrine. It'd be good to know every doctrine, but that's not what's required. If that was what was required, then Jacob would have fallen on his face. Then Isaac would have fallen on his face because they didn't have every doctrine. They had limited revelation. But what revelation they had, they believed. They trusted. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Prove that you're in the faith. Do you trust God? Do you believe his revelation about Jesus Christ? Because that's exactly what Isaac believed. When he blessed Jacob, he was blessing with the prophecy of the Messiah to come. When Jacob turned around and blessed Ephraim and Manasseh and the rest of his children, he was blessing with the idea of the Messiah to come through this nation that God was building. They believed. They were in the faith. Are we in the faith? Do we believe what God has said about his son Jesus Christ? Do we believe that he is the Messiah? That he is the Son of God and the Son of Man? That he is the second Adam? That he is the representative for everyone who comes to him by faith? And that anyone who comes to him by faith, he will in no wise cast out. And that faith is belief, it's trust. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's saying that I am trusting, I am believing what God has said about himself, God has said about his son Jesus Christ, regardless of what science says, regardless of what society says, regardless of what other people tell me. Regardless of the laws of the land, I am going to trust Christ first. He is my rock. He's my deliverer, as David says. Do you have that faith? Do you have the substance of your hope? Do you know it? Is it evidence to you? When we know someone quite well, and the idea that, oh, I can see the evidence of these things when I look at the strata of ground or a fossil, that's not evidence. That's not evidence of anything except there was a fossil there. That's proof that God judges sin. I have the evidence of God in me, in my faith, in my belief, in my trust that His Word is true, that His Word is real, that He says that He will forgive my sins if I trust His Son. That's what I've placed my faith into. That's why we point you to Him tonight. Amen.